From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Before I introduce this week's Naps Chat guest, please permit me to provide some sobering news on the political front. West Virginia's May 10th Republican primary yielded a defeat to one of Naps' key legislative allies, Representative David McKinley of West Virginia. Representative McKinley was defeated in the Republican primary by Representative Alex Mooney. The two sitting members of Congress were redistricted into the same district as the result of the 2020 decennial census. The census showed that West Virginia suffered a population decline, resulting in the loss of one of its three congressional districts. Consequently, McKinley and Mooney were shoehorned into the same congressional district. Mooney's candidacy was boosted by the endorsement of former President Donald Trump. In a large part, Representative McKinley angered Trump by his voting for such bipartisan legislation as the National Infrastructure Bill, ironically, a bill that benefited West Virginia. For those in the postal world, I would just add that McKinley voted in favor of the recently signed into law Bipartisan Postal Service Reform Act, while Mooney voted against it. In addition, Naps is especially disappointed in McKinley's loss due to his introducing, along with Representative Jerry Connolly of Virginia, the Postal Employee Appeal Rights Amendment Act, H.R. 1624, which would provide approximately 5,000 EAS headquarters postal personnel with the same right to appeal adverse personnel actions to the Merit Systems Protection Board as other managerial-level postal employees. Now, permit me to introduce this week's Naps Chat guest, who is actually one of the members of the Naps extended family. She is Katie Maddox. I refer to Katie as a family member because among her former positions, she was legislative representative and PAC manager for Naps from the year 2016 through 2018. Katie currently is the legislative and political director for the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, a division of the Laborers International Union, AFL-CIO. In the past, Katie also carried the legislative portfolio of the American Postal Workers Union and the Federal Managers Association. Katie started her Washington legislative career on the staff of former Senator Carl Levin of Michigan. Welcome to Naps Chat, Katie.
Thanks for having me on, Bob. Really appreciate it.
Katie, I mentioned that you were one of the Naps family. In fact, in the May issue of the Postal Supervisor magazine, Naps president Ivan Butts, in his monthly column, gave you a shout out for helping cultivate the landscape which enabled us to enact the Postal Service Reform Act. Could you tell us a little bit about this cultivation that you engaged in while you were here?
First and foremost, I want to thank Ivan for his little shout out. That really caught me off guard. It was just a nice little, you know, recognition. But I think it also just goes to show that the Postal Service Reform Act has been years, decades in the making. And it's like you commented, it is bipartisan. It had the support of the postal unions, the postal management associations, the postmaster general, the board of governors. We had a wide array of support on this bill. And it is something that we all have been working on for such a long time. And it is truly a victory for all of us. I mean, Bob, you've been in the postal community far longer than I have. So, I mean, congratulations to you, too. This is a monumentous occasion.
Thanks, Katie. Let's talk about careers, if we can. You started your career on Capitol Hill working for U.S. Senator Carl Levin, then moved off the Hill working for a variety of postal employee organizations, including three representing postal employee groups. Could you talk about the difference of how each group approached legislation and politics?
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I would say our similarities are far greater than our differences legislatively. There are a lot of pieces of legislation that we all agree on and that we can work together on. So, I mean, I used to say when I worked at NAPS, you know, we would agree with the unions probably about, you know, 70 to 80% of the time. You know, so I'm really glad that on legislative issues, a lot of us can all come together.
I want to drill down a little bit here. There's a difference in representing a labor union versus representing a managerial level mm-hmm. association. I'd like to you to talk about that difference.
I would say, you know, just difference-wise, the unions, we have the ability to bargain over our wages, whereas I know you all have more of the consultative process. So I think that's the major difference. But you and I used to have your desk, and it's right outside the membership office. And I would hear a lot of the times folks over from the letter carriers, from APWU, from the mail handlers, call up and say, now I've changed careers and now I'm going to be a member of NAPS. So, I mean, you see that as well, too, people moving between the organizations.
One of the things that I've noticed, because I work for a labor organization also, with the NALC, is the ability to engage with members more frequent when you're in a labor union because of the way the workroom floors work, the way that whether they be branches or chapters of organizations, they meet more frequently. Tell me, is that something that you've detected also? And the ability to communicate, either networking and communications?
I think networking and communicating with each other is promoted at all levels. The mail handlers actually just had one of their semi-annual meeting of local unions a few weeks ago in Louisville. We were able to talk about the Postal Service Reform Act and also just the status of our union and, you know, just the status of the Postal Service as well. So I think that's one of those things that is definitely promoted at all levels.
But the frequency of meeting, do you detect there's a more frequent meeting, at least at the lower level, at the branch level, at the floor room level, or no?
I don't know if I can really talk to that, at least at what I've seen. I mean, I have some locals that I know meet weekly. I know some locals that meet biweekly. And then I know NAPS always has, like, you know, their training meetings. Didn't you just have one in Ohio, I believe? So you still have that collective coming together and talking about what issues you're seeing at the local facilities.
Let's talk about something we started with, and that's about the postal legislation. About a month ago, we all traveled to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the White House, to witness the signing of the Postal Service Reform Act of 2022. What is your most profound recollection of that event?
You know, I got to say, it was very surreal. There are some times where I don't really know how to describe it, you know, just sitting that close to Mr. Biden, President Biden, and hearing him talk about the value of the Postal Service and what it all means to every single American household and business and the need to make sure that it is sustainable. And then, you know, we went through the whole process at the end of it, shaking hands of, you know, our champions who made sure that bill got through. And, you know, even got to shake the president's hand, which I think is my grandmother's favorite story about my career. But I will say the best part of it was when my boss, President Paul Hagrobian, went to go meet President Biden, shook his hand. Paul said, you know, my wife is going to be so excited that I got to meet you today. And President Biden looks at Paul and says, what's her name? And Paul goes, Chris. And President Biden says, give her a call. And Paul FaceTimes Chris right then and there. President Biden grabs the phone, waits for Chris to answer, and goes, hey, Chris, it's President Biden. You know, like they've been friends for years and years and years. I think Chris is still on cloud nine from receiving that call. Like I said, I saw she was at our meeting in Louisville a few weeks ago. I talked to her about it then, joked about when her next double date is going to be with President and Dr. Jill. So it was just a fun occasion. Like I said, we've worked on it for so long, and to cap it off with, you know, a fun time like that, it was great.
What fascinated me about the whole event was the informality of the exchanges between the president and those who were present at the event. I can't think of any president in recent memory or over an extended memory that engaged with normal people in, you know, that weren't senators, members of the House, ambassadors with such informality.
But I'm not surprised by it. I think we saw that personality trait of his throughout his time in the Senate and as vice president. Afterwards, Paul said to me, like, that was such a Joe Biden thing to do. And it was just so much fun.
Now, on the legislation itself, clearly the new postal law was a meaningful step in the right direction. For mail handlers, isn't mission accomplished?
No. If you look at that bill, it is very narrow. I think you can say it targets about 5 issues. But the reason why that bill is so narrow is because whenever we tried to do a piece of postal reform that was bigger, it couldn't be swallowed. It wasn't getting the support that the PSRA was getting. And so we still have a lot of work to be done. We are seeing postal legislation that's out there that furthers our cause, and we are going to continue to support that.
So what is the next legislative priority for the mail handlers?
You know, I'll say, you know, looking at stuff like within the Postal Improvement Act, the HR 3077, especially with the paid parental leave for postal employees, just making that equity between the postal and the federal workforce, the Vote by Mail Tracking Act that's in that bill as well. That was a big issue for us. And, you know, during the 2020 elections, you know, you and I were on those meetings about making sure that, you know, Vote by Mail, which saw such a surge during the 2020 elections, to make sure that it would get back and forth between the voter and the election board, just to make sure everything, you know, was going smoothly and every vote was counted. You know, I was very glad to see that. And, you know, I gotta say, I think the Postal Service does not get enough credit for how well Vote by Mail went in 2020. I think, please correct me if I'm wrong on the statistics, but I believe it was 97% of ballots got back and forth between voters and election boards within 5 days.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we like to say we delivered the election. And I think with how easy it was for voters, we're going to continue to see a surge in, you know, interest in vote by mail and making sure that we can make sure as many voters can participate in elections as possible.
Do you suspect with everything going on in the states right now to affect the election in some way, particularly absentee ballots, do you think it's going to be more challenging and for the 2022 election in maintaining the momentum on absentee mail-in ballots as the election was conducted back in 2020?
That's a really good question. And I think obviously one of the biggest motivators for vote by mail in 2020 was the pandemic and people being concerned about going to a long polling line, concerns with health and all that good kind of stuff. But when you look at statistical facts on how states fare with vote by mail, if you look at Colorado and Oregon with how they do, I think you see just a tremendous amount of voter participation from either political party, as well as savings to state governments on just how easy it is to do vote by mail. And I will say we have probably one of the biggest advocates for vote by mail on the Board of Governors with Amber McReynolds. You know, she worked in Colorado and is the CEO for the Vote at Home Initiative. You know, she could go on and on about how great vote by mail is and how easy it is.
Yeah, to be quite honest, one of my concerns is a number of states are narrowing qualifications to conduct of absentee ballots. For example, the window in which the absentee ballots could be applied for and accepted is becoming narrower, as well as the conditions under which the absentee balloting will be conducted, somewhat more severe than they were in 2020. And I'm just curious, and this is, we'll find out, I guess, after the election, whether or not those changes at the state level, like particularly in states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, will have an impact on the outcome.
And I think there's also some states are kind of setting it up to fail as well, if you look at it that way. you know, if you make it so narrow and you make it a little bit more difficult to vote by mail, they can easily go back and say, look, it didn't work. So we're going to go back to the polls. And so you're right. We do have to be on the lookout for this.
Now let's talk about politics a bit. How are the mail handlers gearing up for the 2022 election?
Oh, we're gearing up. As you commented earlier today, we are very upset. I'm very upset about Representative McKinley losing his primary. We are losing a huge champion in the House. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where I've just been telling our members, you know, we have to make sure that our friends and champions, you know, remain on the Hill, have the means to do so, and so they can continue advocating on our behalf.
More and more members of Congress, no matter which political party, whether it be Democrats or Republicans, particularly those that want to work in a bipartisan fashion, are electing not even to run for re-election. I see you see a march for the door. In fact, not even a march for the door, a run for the door amongst a lot of these folks. How do you think that's going to affect our ability to proceed with bipartisan postal legislation in the next Congress?
I think it's one of those things where we need to continually educate candidates and sometimes even incumbents on postal issues and why it is important to them and to their constituents. When I worked on the Hill, I feel like we got a lot of complaints about postal service and, you know, why is my mail late? And I've been under the impression, at least like when I've talked to Hill staffers, that's usually one of their number one complaints is, why is my mail so late? Why has it been weeks? And so it's one of those things that we need to talk to these incumbents about as to why legislation that impacts us needs to be bipartisan as it impacts those in urban, rural, and suburban areas. But I think it's often said, you know, the mail impacts everyone. It doesn't care whether you're rich or poor, whether you live in the city or out in the country. And we need to make sure that, you know, it's ingrained in the Constitution and everyone is entitled to their mail. And that's, you know, what we need to reiterate to these incoming members.
Even more important, history, political history for midterm elections, reapportionment, retirements, current polling data would seem to lead one to the conclusion that we're going to see a switch in the majority in one or both houses of Congress. I understand it's an education campaign, but there are less folks that are going to operate on a bipartisan basis. And you look at the reason why McKinley was defeated and he was campaigned against was because of that very reason. Now, in contrast, in Nebraska, Don Bacon, who has worked in a bipartisan basis, he was able to sort of navigate the cross currents. And although, as I understand it, former President Trump was seeking someone to run against Don Bacon, he was unsuccessful in that venture. And I know that the potential incoming chairman of the Oversight and Reform Committee, James Comer, really likes working in a bipartisan way because that's the way legislation gets passed. But that's this whole maelstrom of partisanship, how are we going to do that? I mean, you say education, but people are coming in with attitudes that don't want to hear our message.
Bob, that's the million-dollar question. I don't know if I have an exact answer to that. I don't know if you have an exact answer to that.
I don't.
Okay.
At this point, I don't.
Okay. Because I would say if you did have an answer, you need to share. But yeah, no, Republicans are primed and ready to take back the House and the Senate. I think we need to be prepared that we are going to need to be playing some defense. Just because, I mean, one of the big issues that I see coming up in the 118th is going to be deficit reduction, which to our folks, that means cuts to pay and benefits. You know, and I think that's why in the current 117th, it's important to promote legislation that protects our pay and benefits. Like, you know, with the GPO WEP, the WEP recalculations, paid parental leave, the Federal Retirement Fairness Act, stuff like that, that protects what we have already. But I think come January 2023, we need to be prepared to see the same old song and dance of moving from, you know, a high three to a high five, COLA reductions or eliminations, the elimination of the first supplement, general increases to employee contributions for healthcare and retirement benefits. So I think we need to brace ourselves.
That provides a great transition to my final question, or this final topic of questions, and that is, we both have a shared job experience, another shared job experience, which is we both serve as vice chairs or co-chairs of the Federal Postal Coalition. You as co-chair of the Legislative Committee, I as vice chair of the Political Committee. Could you talk about your role as co-chair and how we're going to ramp up to protect ourselves from a possibility or a probability of confronting many of the same challenges we've faced in the past, but we've evaded for the past 4 years.
And so I just want to go back to how the Federal Postal Coalition was formed, which was about, 30 years ago, something like that?
A long time ago.
Yes. But, you know, when we saw threats to the federal and postal workforces back in the 80s, like I said, same old song and dance. You know, we saw it in the 80s, we saw it in the 90s, and we're going to see it again. And so we have a group of people who represent federal union and management, as well as postal union and management, being able to come together and hold the wall of, you know, these kinds of attacks. I think we were always able to come together on issues like this. Like I said, we play a good game of defense over there.
I'm going to be on the defense again. It appears that's the case. And it's going to be challenging. We need also, I know that we both have some experience. I know in California that you have this Legislative Postal Coalition sort of replicating in California. It might be important for in states where there are going to be challenges to really formulate these types of coalitions there.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see one like in Kentucky.
That would be good.
Because of the importance that Senator McConnell, as majority leader, even as minority leader right now, there's the sway that he holds to really work, I wouldn't say with him, but sort of help navigate the cross currents that we will be confronting. But maybe that's something we all could work on, because it's going to be pretty important.
Well, like I said at the beginning of the pod, I think our similarities are, you know, greater than our differences. And we have definitely come together on legislation in the past. And like I said, 2023 is going to be difficult, and it'll be time for us to come together again.
With that, Katie, I want to thank you for joining us. Once again, our guest today was Katie Maddox, Legislative and Political Director for the National Postal Mail Handlers Union. Thanks for joining us, Katie.
Thanks for having me on, Bob. This was a lot of fun.
I want to thank Naps Chat listeners for logging on also. If you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store, and more importantly, share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make